Kevin, we'll sing a verse of that before you change your music. What a friend we have in Jesus. So we're going by memory tonight. Most of you should know the hymn. Just that first verse, what a friend. Testimony. We're having a testimony tonight. Good to have Ford with us. He's going to speak to us later. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Thank you.
Never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. Seek the Lord in prayer. Let's call upon his name tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the blessed Savior of whom we've been singing this evening. Those of us that are saved by your grace and washed in the Redeemer's blood, know our sins forgiven, know where our future lies, we're going to heaven. We can surely testify tonight about the one who is the fairest of 10,000 to our souls. Thank you for the beautiful language that is used in your word to describe the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for all those titles that are attributed to him, something like 200 in your word. And Lord, we need to bring them all together to get a fuller view of the Savior, who he is, what he came to do, how precious he is to those who believe. And Lord, we pray that his presence will be known tonight, and that we will be taken up with the wonder of our dear Savior. We thank thee for the one who was God and became man in the incarnation. We bless thee that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And Lord, we can't take that in, what it meant for the eternal God in the person of the Son to enter this world, to become like unto his creatures that he made. For he took upon himself our form, our likeness. He was made in human flesh. We thank you, Lord, for that very moment when that happened, in the conception that took place in the womb of Mary. And we praise thee for the moment he came into the world, was born, grew up in obscurity, albeit. Well, we know that he grew up like a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground, the prophet Isaiah tells us. And there were those years for the better part of his life, for 30 of them, when we know little about what he did and where he went. But then he began his ministry, and he was revealed to the world that day at the Jordan when he was baptized. And John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And there was that proclamation, that declaration of who he was and what he had come to do right there at the beginning. No doubt about the work of Christ being that lamb that would die, that lamb that would be slain, that lamb whose blood would be shed to take away our sin. And we know that he lived his whole ministry with that in view. And coming near the end, your word tells us how determined he was to go to the cross, for he set his face as a flint, like a hard stone, to go to Jerusalem. Nothing to stop him, to hold him back, for he must needs die for his people. He must go to the cross and fulfill all that was to be fulfilled in his sacrifice and his substitutionary death. Lord, we praise thee for Jesus Christ tonight. And when we contemplate him, what he did when he was here on the earth, the great works of Christ, the mighty sermons that he preached, and then, of course, all culminating at the cross when he died, we can truly say that he is the fairest of 10,000 to the believer soul. Thank thee for the day that we met him, the day that he saved us, took our sins away, made us new creatures, set us on the road that leads to heaven. Lord, what a joy that is to just even think about these things tonight. And we praise thee for the message of the gospel that we can proclaim and do proclaim from this house to the young, to the old, to all who come into contact with that message. And we thank you for your servant, your brother Ford, who's come this evening to testify. And we praise thee for the triumph of divine grace in his life, the day that he was converted, what the Lord meant to him since that day, the way the Lord has ordered his steps, even through difficulty and sorrow and pain. And we know in the providence of God, sometimes it is that way that the Lord leads. But the Lord never makes a mistake. And we can say in the words of the hymn writer, "My Jesus doeth all things well." And we pray for your servant tonight as he relates his testimony, tells us about it and what the Lord means to him, that you will bless him, that you will stand with him, that the Holy Spirit will anoint him. And Lord, may his testimony be a blessing. May it reach hearts. That's our desire tonight. Not just to listen to a story that ought to move our hearts, but Lord, to really feel the burden of this meeting and what the Lord means to Ford and what the Lord has done for him and his family. Lord, we do pray that you'll speak to every heart. Encourage your people that know the Lord tonight. And remember the dear unsaved that are here. Lord, speak to them and those that are listening on the internet this evening. We pray that as this message goes out, a message of good news in the gospel, a message of testimony to God's grace, that there will be those who will be reached and saved and brought to Christ, that they might start for heaven. Lord, hear this, our prayer. It is our desire for Jesus' sake. Amen. Very warm word of welcome to each and every one that has come to what is really our first family night of the year. First Sunday of every month is family night, and we're glad to see all who are present with us. I want to welcome those that are listening in on the internet, might be through sermon audio or through Facebook or YouTube, but welcome in the Savior's precious name. This week is the week of prayer for our ministers. Do remember our men and our students, as each morning we gather for prayer. It's going to take place by Zoom again this year. Thursday night, we will come in for a season of prayer from 8 o'clock till about 9 o'clock. And then Friday night is the first meeting of our missionary weekend. Just want you to note that there's no Saturday night meeting. Last year, because of all that was going on with COVID, we didn't have our missionary weekend. But the session, I felt it was important to keep this going as far as it lies within us. So Friday night, we have reports from live missionaries that will be right here with us, God willing, our sister Joanne Greer and our sister Joy Gillespie. And we're hoping to have this live link up with Uganda. Going to test that tonight, going to test the technology with Noreen, just to see that her internet and computer and all is working her side and likewise here. And God willing, we will be linking up with Noreen, who has been in Uganda now for 4 years, 17 years in Kenya before that. And by that time, all being well, two of our mission board members will have traveled to Uganda. So we're thinking of the Reverend McMillan and Mr. Alistair Hamilton, and we're going to be able to link up with all three. That is the plan. If that goes pear-shaped, we'll go to plan B, whatever that is. But we look forward to it. The Reverend Harris, who is the chairman of the mission board, minister of Annalong, will be here to bring the missionary challenge. Saturday night, there's a fundraiser for our Christian school, and it is New Year breakfast in the Carson complex. and that will be from 8:30 to 12:30. So the lateness of the time must be for the late risers, or maybe it's just to space it out through the day. If you can help, see Mervyn or Lydia and get your name in there, and all the proceeds will go, of course, to the ministry of the Christian School. Leaflets are available. They're just on the two little tables at the back there. As you leave, take one with you to remind you, or give them out to others. Next Lord's Day, the prayer meeting is at 8 o'clock, our Sabbath school at 10:30, the Bible class at the same time, and Phil is dealing with the subject of doctrine, and particularly personal devotion in the life of the Christian, and he's coming to our prayer life. Missionary weekend continues at 12 noon, and we will have other missionary reports from around the world. These will be recordings at both of the meetings. Next Lord's Day, we will have special reports from the mission field. I'll be preaching in the morning, and the Reverend David Brown from Larne and one of the members of the mission board, he'll be bringing the challenge that night. So we want you to be in prayer. This is always a highlight of our year, and a work is done every year, we believe, in hearts. And as we said this morning, last year, as far as our calculations are concerned, was the greatest year of giving to missionary work, almost £90,000 given to missionary endeavour. So we rejoice in that. We're glad to be able to help. We're just a little church, really. The whole denomination is just a little denomination, but we're reaching out into the world in many places, and the Lord has been pleased to bless these efforts. There is the prayer time at 6:15 next Lord's Day evening. Thank you for your tithes and your offerings to God's work. And today is Let the Bible Speak and the missionary support for those who give to our missionaries this way. There is a new flower, Rota. You can see Diane about that, or put your name on the Rota. It's on the notice board, and help out this year. The free will envelopes and the missionary support envelopes for 2022 are now available. And as we said this morning, on behalf of my office bearers in the church, the elders and the committee, I want to wish all of you, our members, our friends, our adherents, all that are gathered here tonight and listening in, a blessed new year as we've entered into it now already. Another hymn of testimony is 307. And it speaks about many, many things that we don't know. And then there is this great affirmation taken from the words of Paul that we do know. If you know Christ tonight, you'll be able to say, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. It's a verse of Scripture. It's the declaration of the great apostle, and it's brought here into the chorus of the hymn. Think of the words, I know not why God's wondrous grace to me has been made known, nor why, unworthy as I am, he claimed me for his own. And all the verses are likewise not really understanding fully these things, but we do know that we're in Christ, and we know where we're going. We praise God for that tonight.
Thank you.
Well, we're very glad to have you tonight. We've been announcing this and encouraging people to pray for you, and they've been doing that. And travelling up to Ballymoney in the winter months, we appreciate that, coming all the way from your home. And we welcome you, welcome your wife with you tonight. And we're looking forward to your testimony. I'm going to give this a wee spray. It's not aftershave, it's good stuff. Anyhow, if that's in your way when you come, just put it to the side. And you can have this water that's here. I don't think any of the spray will do it, but it doesn't do any harm anyway.
God bless you.
Thanks very much.
I'll just sample this water here to see if anything went in there. So you'll know if I keel over here, there was something in it there. Listen, thank you very much. I suppose on behalf of the Arnold family, I'd first of all like to thank the Reverend Park and his wife for their fellowship throughout this past year and a half. But also I want to thank this congregation for how you have upheld us in prayer as a family. And it's been very much appreciated, and it has really been felt, you know, the outpouring of grief right across, not just in the Free Presbyterian Church, but right across different denominations through Northern Ireland. It has been powerful, and just want to publicly thank you very much for your continued support and your prayers. Just before I start, I'd like if you could bow your heads in prayer, please. Oh Lord and my God, I thank you, Lord, for bringing me here this evening. I thank you, Lord, for your help and your strength, Lord. And Lord, I ask you now to calm my nerves, Lord, to help me keep a lid on my emotions, Lord. And Lord, to help me to speak well and clear and to uplift your name, Lord, and share what you have done for me. Lord, I pray, Lord, for this congregation, Lord. And Lord, I pray for those gathered here this evening, Lord, that you'll bless them. And Lord, that I might have a word for them this evening. And that somebody, Lord, just even if there's only one person here, Lord, that it might be spoken to, how it would be so worthwhile. Amen. Well, if you have your Bible with you, I have a few verses that I would like to turn up. And I will be referring to them later on as I go through my testimony. If I ask you to turn, please, to Jeremiah, the chapter 29, and the verse 13. That's Jeremiah 29, and the verse 13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. The second verse then is a few pages back in Isaiah 43, verse 1 and 2. That's Isaiah 43, verse 1 and 2. And I'm just going to enter into the middle of the first verse. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And finally, if you'd please turn just till right at the beginning, Genesis chapter 5. And verses 21 through to 24. That's Genesis chapter 5, 21 to 24. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. So I suppose where I'd like to begin this evening is my full name actually is like my father. I'm actually Hartford as well, but I get Ford for short, much like the same as my grandfather. He was also Hartford, but he was, from day one, he was given Ford for short, and I followed suit. So I'm always known as Ford, perhaps so that you don't mix me and my dad up, although if you've seen the two of us, I wouldn't like to think that you would. So I was born on the 29th of April, 1985. I was the second son to my mum and dad, Hartford and Phyllis Arnold. I had an older brother, Thomas, and my brother Thomas was mentally and physically handicapped. Thomas had a condition, much like cerebral palsy, where Thomas was unable to sit up or to talk. And I know there was big concern at the time after Thomas's diagnosis. Whenever I was due to be born, my parents were both concerned as to whether I would have the same condition. But thankfully, I didn't, and the doctors told them that I was all was well with me. Then the year after I was born, in 1986, my younger brother Wensley was born. But my younger brother Wensley also was to have the same condition as my older brother Thomas. And again, just like Thomas, Wensley had a small portion at the back of his head in his brain, no bigger than your thumbnail, that just wasn't formed properly. And because of that, Wensley was never able to sit up or to talk. But you know, the two boys were perfect in my eyes. I didn't know any different, and I suppose I just felt that this was normal. But you know, the two of them, with their condition, they were also very prone to chest infections and problems with their lungs. Much really, I suppose, to do with the fact that they were unable to sit up and to run about like I was. So anything that happened or come on their lungs, that it really settled on their chest and they were unable to shake it off. So many times Thomas and Wensley would have been taken into Craigavon Area Hospital, where they'd have spent a few days in hospital and they'd have cleared it up with antibiotics and they'd been back home again. But in November 1989, my older brother Thomas, he went into hospital. And unfortunately, he really was badly affected with this chest infection, only then to find out that it wasn't just that, but it was pneumonia had set in. And unfortunately, Thomas succumbed to that. And at the age of 6 years of age, Thomas went home to be with the Lord. And much because, I suppose, over the years, how well my parents had got to know the nurses in Craigavon Area Hospital, the nurses kindly offered to look after Wensley while my parents made the funeral arrangements for my brother Thomas. And Wensley went into hospital. And it was after Thomas's funeral that my parents went over to bring Wensley home. But unfortunately, Wensley had started to become poorly as well. And unfortunately, the doctors come to inform them that the pneumonia that Thomas had also settled on Wensley. And as hard as Wensley fought it, he too, at the age of 3, 9 days after his big brother Thomas, he went home to be with the Lord. Now, as a parent now myself, I can't imagine what that was like for my mum and dad. It must have been awful losing two children within 9 days of each other. But you know, it was really through that the Lord started to move within our family. It was through the loss of my older brother Thomas that my father got saved. It was through the loss of my brother Thomas saying that and my father getting saved that brought my mum, a backslider, back to the Lord. And that was pretty much, you know, the blessings that we had in her home at the time. I was only 5 at the time, but I still have fond memories of the two boys, and memories then of us as a family now starting to attend Lurgan Free Presbyterian Church. And I very much I grew up in the church. We attended Lurgan and then moved on to Dromore Free Presbyterian, and I grew up through Sunday school, through youth fellowship, and you know, it was precious times. And but you know, it was one of the meetings that my parents had taken me to. It was in Ballinahinch Church, and they had a meeting, a special meeting on for, they had an African orphans choir over, and they were singing. And after the children had sung their pieces, several of the children come up and would spoke a little of how they had lost their parents, and they talked a little bit about themselves. And it was really coming home from that meeting. I was only 9 years of age, but as we were coming home along the, as I would call it, the bumpy road from Ballinahinch to Dromore, my mum knew that I was upset in the back of the car, and she said, "Ford, what's wrong?" And she said, I said to her, "You know, Mum, it doesn't make sense them little children not having mummies or daddies. Could we not have brought some of them home with us?" You know, in a simple way, as children often think, I just thought it was that simple. But you know, Mum said to me, she said, "Ford, why would you want that?" And I said, "Mum, you know, I'm lonely." And Mum told me, said, "Ford, if that's what you have in your heart, you know, you pray for it." And I suppose looking back, it was obviously a big concern and perhaps a worry for my mum and dad if they would have another child, and if they had another, a fourth child, would the fourth child have the conditions of their two sons, Thomas and Wensley? But it was only a couple of months after that my mum and dad called me into their bedroom, and late one night they told me that my mum was expecting and she was going to have a baby in the following summer. Now, I was over the moon. I was jumping up and down. I can clearly remember it, running up and down our hall, and I immediately started to say that I was going to have a wee brother. You'll notice that I never asked for a wee sister. It was only ever a wee brother that I wanted. But, you know, my dad told me, he said, "Ford, well, you know, you just have to, just not so sure about that. We'll have to wait and see what comes in the summertime." But it was a wee brother that I prayed for, and the Lord answered my prayers at the age of 9, because it was a wee brother that I got. In June 1995, on the 13th of June, my grandmother came into my P7 class and took me across to Craigavon Hospital to see my younger brother, Matthew. And Matthew, the news had come through that Matthew, he had been through the various tests, and the doctors were able to say that Matthew was fit and well, and they had no concerns with him. And I can remember looking at Matthew for the first time, and I can remember actually thinking, is that all he is? He's so small. It's going to be a day or two before Matthew kicks a football back to me. But you know, Matthew grew up quick. So he did, and he was great to have in the home, as just how much of a character he was. But there was the 10 years of difference between me and Matthew. But I don't know if it was Matthew getting older or perhaps me getting younger, but it wasn't long before Matthew was into his teens and me and him were thick as thieves. But now, I suppose it was now at this point, I was in my teenage years, and like a lot of young people, I was had peer pressure in school, and I suppose my way of trying to fit in at school was trying to be the joker of the pack. And I suppose there's a saying, it takes a wise man to act a fool, and I always thought that the more foolish that I acted, the more wise people would think that I was. But it just doesn't work that way, I'm afraid. But that's just how. I suppose I was the joker of our group of friends at school. But it was later on through secondary school that I started to drift away from the Lord. And it was once then I got, I suppose, my independence that with my own car and different things that I was able to... I had replaced the youth fellowship on Friday night with the bars and nightclubs in Banbridge. But, you know, I always just sort of... I always felt that I was still a Christian, albeit perhaps just a bad one or a backslidden one. I always thought that, you know, I'm not breaking any laws in the land. I'm still honoring my mother and father. I'm I'm not doing anything wrong. And sure, what harm was I doing? But you know, I was trying to live up to the standard that I was setting for myself. I wasn't living up to the name of a Christian at all. But you know, you always try and put things off, and many times the Lord convicted me over the years. And it was there was many occasions that that the Lord convicted me. Should have been in meetings or different things that he put across my path, but I always put them off and thought, at a later date or at another time, I'll get right with God, and sure there'll be time for this whenever I'm older. So 2003, I was 18. I had finished my secondary school. 2003 was a good year for me because I got to leave school. I started work in our family business in cottage catering. And as my wife reminds me, it was a good year because it was the year that I met her. So it was. So it was a good year that year. But, you know, I just kept putting things off. Still thought, well, I'm not doing anything that bad, and you know, there'll be time for this later on. And so life went on. Me and Nicola were going out. We soon got engaged. I was working away in our family business. But I really, at this point, had started to really drift away from church, simply because, not that there was any fault in the message that the Reverend David McLaughlin had carried off, or then later the Reverend Thomas Martin in Lisburn was going to say. It was because I knew that they were right and they were speaking the truth. So I did my very best to either come home late on Sunday night or Saturday night, and I would miss church on Sunday morning. But you know, there was a couple of things that occurred for me that really got me to sit up. And that was, by now, me and Nicola had got married. We had had our first son. The Lord had blessed us when I called him after my older brother Thomas. And it was probably, I suppose, the knowledge and the schooling that I had in Sunday school and through youth fellowship that I knew that I was the head of the home. And I suppose it was the pressure of knowing my responsibilities as a father and my role in the house. But also alongside that, I had a chance meeting with a friend of mine who I hadn't seen in a long time. And we got talking about this and that in old times. And he brought the topic of God up in conversation, which was a surprise to me because this friend had never really spoken to me about God before. But he surprised me because he said that he would almost describe himself now as an atheist. Now, this really perhaps didn't show it at the time, but it really surprised me because this friend had a very similar upbringing and background as me. And I just always assumed that me and my friends were, we all believed in God, but we were just simply poor Christians. But so we actually had a bit of a debate and argument. And I have to say that I didn't have any answer for the questions that he was raising and the arguments that he was putting up. And this really, it kind of got to me in a way, because one, I didn't like losing an argument. And it was the very following day that I went on and I looked and searched for a book that I could, that would teach me how I could win an argument the next time I met him. And the book that I found, stumbled across, was a book by an American author, a man called Frank Turek. The book was called I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. Now, I got that book and I read it cover to cover, and I thought this was great. This book then led on to other books and other authors, and I stumbled across a man here from Northern Ireland, a professor, John Lennox, who has written many different books of apologetics and great books. I would strongly recommend them to anybody who may be interested in looking to know about the origins of the earth, though, of the earth and all things to do with science, but in a perspective of coming from where God's hand was in it. But you know, I was searching, I suppose, a bit like the wee verse in Jeremiah which I'll just briefly turn back to here, and it says, "Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." But you see, I was searching for God, but I was searching for him with my head. It wasn't personal at that point. But, you know, as time went on, the weight and, I suppose, the responsibility and the more personal responsibility of being a father started to weigh heavier and heavier on me. By now, our second son, Daniel, was born. And it was then on the 1st of January 2016, where I had really struggled and wrestled, I suppose, with the Lord throughout 2015. And it brought me to a point on the 1st of January 2016 where, you know, the start of a new year is a point of reflection on the year previous and a point to look ahead for the incoming year. And I knew that day that I didn't want to put in a year in 2016 like I had in 2015. So that morning, I simply asked the Lord. I said, "Lord, please, would you come back into my life, Lord? Come back into my heart." And so he did. And it was just such a burden that rolled away. Until you've actually experienced it, words can't actually describe the relief in it. And how now, the studying that I'd been doing in the couple of previous years, reading the Bible again and reading these various books by these different men, how much more alive and how much more meaning my study now had. And things of the world which previously I would have laughed at and found funny, they just simply weren't funny anymore. The Lord had took the shine off them, and I knew that definitely the Lord had come into my heart and had changed me. And I suppose I'd love to be able to stand here now and say that was the end of my story and life was great thereafter, but this isn't a story by Walt Disney. This is a story by Ford Arnold. Later that same year, on Boxing Day in 2016, my grandfather Ford Sr., he died in his bed that morning. And that was a big loss for me. With growing up on our family farm and my grandfather only living 100 yards away from us, he was a big part of my life, and it was a big loss for me. But there was also a lot to be thankful for, because later in life, my grandfather had come to know the Lord as a Savior, and I knew that he was at home in heaven, and he had a great, long, full life, so there was an awful lot to be thankful for. Then coming forward to 2019, my grandmother, my Granda Ford's wife, Jean, she had suffered with dementia for the previous 7 or 8 years, and it had just come, and every few weeks it just come back, that disease, and chipped another wee faculty or a wee portion of her memory, and just chipped away at the wee woman and the granny that I knew and loved. And she went home to be with the Lord in Easter in 2019. But you know, it was a good day that day, because again, my grandmother was saved. I knew that she was now at home in heaven, and I knew now that she wasn't suffering as she had previously for the number of years with dementia. And so my grandparents were a big influence on me. They were both very good to me in their life. But they were also very good to me in their death, because they left me their home and the family farm that they had in Donaghcloney. And so at the end of 2019 and beginning of 2020, we set to restore and renovate my grandparents' house, the farmhouse on the farm. And me and Nicola and our children were looking forward to moving into the house. We had planned to move into it in the spring of 2020. But also alongside that, there was a lot of excitement, because Matthew now was married, and Matthew and Kira were now expecting their first child, which was due in March as well. And the house that I lived in, the house that we were living in on the farm, me and Nicola were planning on moving out of it and into my grandparents' house, and Matthew and Kira were going to move into the house that we were living in. So it was just seemed to be so perfect a situation. We were going to be, me and Matthew were going to be living 100 yards from each other, across the farmyard from each other, and how we were looking forward to that. But the news came, we got Matthew and Kira. They had their little girl, Eve, was born on the 14th of March, and how we had rejoiced in that, how powerful that was, and how happy a time it was. But again, it was tinged with sadness because this COVID-19 had filtered across from China across till the UK, and the lockdown was coming, and we were all nervous of these restrictions that were being put in place, and there was a concern over. We were all worried as a family for Matthew and Kira with this new baby, and would baby Eve be affected or be at a high risk from this COVID-19? So Matthew and Kira had to isolate from they come home from the hospital. They weren't allowed visitors. I only briefly called at their house and set a present at their front door and had to stand back and wave at them through the window. And I felt so sorry for Matthew and Kira at that time because, you know, you spend all the time in the 9 months and waiting and the baby comes and all you want to do as a new parent is to show that baby off and to have people around and basically to show them your hard work. But they were unable to do that. Now, after a week of this, Matthew could put up with it no longer. This was cracking Matthew up. Matthew was a country boy, and Matthew liked his open spaces. Matthew was not like an isolation one bit. So a week after they were home, they moved in with my parents, a couple of miles from our farm near Black Skull. And they had 2 weeks together, living with Mum and Dad again, the three of them. And how precious time now looking back that was, because Mum and Dad got to witness Matthew and see him, how he was as a father and how happy he was. But then it came the Tuesday, the 7th of April. Matthew's paternity leave had finished and his holidays had finished. Matthew was returning to work because our family business is in food. We were classed as an essential work operation, so we were open right throughout and have been throughout the pandemic. So Matthew returned to work that week. Matthew, as he normally does, Matthew started an hour later than me, and I would always hear Matthew coming to work. Matthew started at 8 o'clock. And I was always used to hearing Matthew coming because the car that Matthew drove, if you heard the exhaust on it, you would understand why. Matthew was a real petrol head. He loved his cars and loved his motorbikes. Really, a bit like myself, loved anything with an engine in it. We as an Arnold family, that motorsport is our passion and our home. And from me and Matthew were big enough to crawl onto something that had an engine in it, we were on it. But that morning, Matthew, there was a different sound in the air that morning. I looked out the window and Matthew had come to work on his motorbike. And I welcomed him in. It was great to see him. It was great to have him back in work. And we spent the day working together. And it was great working with him. And it come towards the end of the day that day and I suppose everybody else, all the other staff were away. It was just me and Matthew left. And we have, I suppose, production lines in our workplace that, a bit like your washing machine at home, they have a wash cycle. And a lot of our production lines were on their wash cycle for the end of the day to get them ready for the next morning. So as I said to Matthew, I said, Matthew, would you mind waiting 10 minutes to that finishes washing? I'm going to go home. Would you be able to lock the gate? And Matthew said, of course, not a problem. That'll do. I'll see you in the morning. And so it was. I said goodbye to Matthew. We have a small meeting room upstairs in our office. And I said goodbye to Maddie. I says, Maddie, I'll see you in the morning. So off I left, I drove home from Dromore, where our work is, till Donnacloney. It's only 5 miles away. And I can remember it. I'll remember it for the rest of my life, but I can remember the very detail in it that I drove home that evening with my window down because it was the first really good warm day of the year, of that spring. And I drove along that road. And as you drive along that Dromore Lurgan Road, I noticed there was two badgers on the road that had been knocked down by a car. And I immediately reacted. I suppose it was the motorbiker in me. I immediately reacted. I thought, I'll phone Matthew and warn him, because that would be enough to put a motorcyclist off the motorbike. But you know, I searched for my phone, and I pulled my phone out of my pocket, and just something come on me. It just says, no, Ford, don't. Don't phone him. Don't, because that was always me. I was always telling Matthew what to do. I suppose I was perhaps a bit of a controlling big brother, but I was always reminding Matthew, remember to do this and turn that light out and make sure you lock the gate and make sure you do this and that. But that night, that evening, I simply said, Ford, don't baby him. He's not a baby anymore. He's a father now. And besides, the badgers are on the other side of the road, and Matthew won't be on that side of the road. So I arrived home. Nicola had my dinner ready. I had it in me in about 10 minutes flat, and our three children were jumping up and down in the kitchen. They wanted to go outside. So I give in, and I says, okay, let's go outside. We'll cut the grass. So I went outside, and we were cutting the grass for 15 or 20 minutes, and I noticed Nicky coming walking down the yard to me. No alarm at this point, but I stopped the lawnmower, and she said, Ford, your mum's been trying to phone you, but I couldn't hear the phone ringing in my pocket because of the noise of the lawnmower. So I took my phone out, and I phoned mum, but mum was really worried. She said, Ford, is Matthew with you? I says, no, mum, he's not. She said, Ford, he hasn't come home yet for his dinner. Now, this really baffled me because Matthew should only have been behind me by 10 minutes. And I have to be honest, my first reaction was I was cross with him, because I thought that Matthew had went away. Oh, it's a lovely evening, and Matthew's went for a big long run on his motorbike and hasn't told anybody where he's going, and now Mum's worried and Kira's worried. And I tried to phone Matthew, and it didn't answer. It just went to Matthew's voicemail. But then, you know, my phone rung back again, but this time it was Mum, but she was really concerned. Matthew's and Kira, their neighbour of their house in Donnacloney Village, had phoned to say that the police were at Matthew's door. Well, I didn't even take time to say anything. I immediately jumped off the lawnmower and I run up the yard. And I hopped into the van and I drove the mile down into the village. And just as I come into Matthew's estate, I met the police car coming and I flagged it down at my hand out the window. And I'll always remember, I asked the police officer, he's looking for Matthew Arnold. And he never answered me. He just simply said, who are you? And I said, I'm his brother. And just for the briefest of seconds, the lady police officer in the passenger seat, she lost her composure. And I could see it in her face that the Lord had called and taken Matthew home to heaven. Because that afternoon, only 15 minutes behind me on the road, Matthew had been involved in a two-vehicle collision on his way home, and Matthew was pronounced dead at the scene. Now, I really can't speak much of the days that followed. Only all I can say is that we were just plunged into darkness. It was like people were using or speaking in a different language, because people were using words in the same sentence that Matthew's, in the same sentence as Matthew's name, that for me had no business being there. words like police inquiry, or family liaison officer, or Matthew's funeral service, or the darkest and blackest phrase of them all, Matthew's widow. But you know, it's only against the blackness, a bit like the stars in the sky. It's only against the blackest of the night sky that the stars shine the brightest. Because the Lord gave us diamonds of blessing through that difficult time. I can name you 9 of our family members who have come to know the Lord in the days after. And it's very precious for me and Nikki because I can name my 2 sons in it. But really, you know, the Lord has still been good to us. I suppose what I want to share with you is 3 occasions. There's been many different things. There's been hundreds of different things, occasions where I've had messages from friends or other believers of support. But, you know, there's 3 that I just simply want to share you with. There was 3 occasions that really stand out for me. A few days after, it was Matthew's accident was on Tuesday, the 7th of April. And Matthew's funeral was that Saturday, the Saturday before Easter, Saturday the 11th of April. And the day before, I was asked would I want to speak and say a few words. And I knew it was going to be difficult, but I knew I'd never get the opportunity again. And so I said that I would. And all I can simply say is, as difficult as it was, I had a presence and a feeling on me that day that I'll never forget. And there was words that come into my mouth that I spoke that day that I hadn't written down or I hadn't planned or intended to say. And probably one of the most poignant of them was right at the very end of me speaking, I simply said that day that if you were there that day and you had a brother, that I simply asked if there was ever anything bad said between you. I simply asked, would you take it back and to phone them and tell them you love them? I hadn't intended to say that day. I hadn't planned on saying it. And after I had spoke, I stepped down and the Reverend Thompson spoke after me. But you know, my mind was racing because I was thinking of the crowd that was there attending the service that day at our home, socially distanced outside. And I was thinking, goodness, what have I said? What if I've offended somebody? And everybody's been so good and been so kind to us, and I hope I haven't offended somebody. But you know, I shouldn't have needed to worry because the Lord's far wiser than I. Because I could name you sets of brothers tonight who are back speaking again because of what I had said that day. It was enough for them to bury the hatchet, should you say, and get back in touch with each other. The next occasion that stands out for me was my birthday. 22 days after Matthew's accident, the 29th of April 2020, I was due to turn 35. And how the beginning of 2020, as I was approaching 35, Matthew in June was going to be 25. And how Matthew was keeping me going. He said, Ford, you know, you couldn't be any more middle-aged if you tried. You know, that's just how we kept each other going. But the morning of my birthday, I come into work, and as I start every morning, I had to have a cup of coffee to get me going. And I made a cup of coffee, and I sat down at our wee meeting table upstairs, the same table that I left Matthew at that Tuesday night. And I looked at the table, and it has 4 seats at it, and I was sitting at 1 of them, and I looked at the 3 empty seats, and I immediately thought of my 3 brothers. And I couldn't sit at the table any longer. And I got up from the table and I walked across and I sat down at the desk. And it was my mum's desk in the office. And she had left for me a little glass case with little small notes, no bigger than a credit card in it. And they're simply God's promises and wee verses in it. And I opened the box and I said, Lord, I'm not going to pick these at random. I'm simply going to take the very first one that comes to it. And Lord, I really cried unto the Lord. I said, Lord, please give me something. Now the Lord, the message, the verse the Lord gave me was Psalm 34 and the verse 22. And I'll simply read it for you here. And it just simply says, the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. You know, I couldn't believe what I was reading. I normally am a very, very skeptical person, and I would always look for some other reason, perhaps. But this morning, I couldn't deny that the Lord had brought that before me. And how happy I was. How that one verse had turned my, how I felt right upside down. And you know, I couldn't ask for a better present that day for my 35th birthday. Because you see, I knew that Matthew had been saved. Matthew was saved at a young age. And you know, I knew that Matthew wasn't dead. Matthew had been redeemed on the 7th of April. And how precious that was. And as much as I missed him, and as much as I miss my brother Thomas and Wensley, I know that someday, through the Lord's precious blood that he shed on the cross for you and for me, that I'll see them again. Now, the final one that I want to share with you again was in work. I have deliveries to do in our little delivery lorry. And that one afternoon, I had a delivery to do across to Lurgan. And if you know the road, if you know that part of the world at all, from Dromore to Lurgan, it's only 10 miles. But on that way, on that road, you pass the scene of where Matthew's accident was. And that day, driving along in the lorry, as I passed the scene of the accident, I just was really annoyed and really upset. And by the time I got to Lurgan, I wasn't in a great shape now. But I just called on to the Lord, and I got to where I was delivering the goods, and I reversed on the lorry onto the delivery bay. And you normally, as you do with deliveries, you have a bit of time to wait till somebody takes it off. And I just called on to the Lord and said, Lord, you know, why me? You know, and I don't mean that tonight, and I didn't mean it then, and a feeling sorry for myself kind of way. Because, you know, I know how much and how well the Lord has blessed me. And for the three brothers that I miss, the Lord has blessed me and Nicky with three children. But it was really simply, you know, Lord, why me? Why am I the brother out of four that you've decided to leave behind? And Lord, what work have you got for me to do? What's the purpose in it? I'm convinced that Thomas Wensley or Matthew could have spoke as well, if not better than I this evening. And I simply cried unto the Lord, what would you have me do, Lord? And, you know, I took my phone out I suppose the thought that I had in my head was why Ford? And, you know, why not Matthew, or why not Thomas, or why not Wensley? And I simply Googled Ford on my phone. And you can do this yourself. It'll bring up in the Oxford Dictionary, the word Ford is an old English word, and it simply means a shallow and a safe place to cross a river. And reading that that afternoon, I knew that. I knew from doing geography at school, back in my memory, in the back of my head, I knew that that was the meaning of the word Ford. And how you'll actually, if you turn up an Ordnance Survey map, perhaps of the Mourns or the Antrim Hills, on an Ordnance Survey map, anywhere where there's a shallow place to cross a stream, it'll be marked Ford on the map. But below, whenever you do a search on Google or on your phone, sometimes it'll bring up below it related images to your search. And it was an image that just pierced my heart. It just stood out to me, and that was a picture of a road sign with Ford on it. We don't have too many of them here, but I've printed it out. Hopefully you all will be able to see it. I'll just hold it up here briefly. But that was the Google image that I had seen on my phone. And I looked at that image and that road sign, and I looked at it and immediately was drawn to the three corners of it. And I just thought of my three brothers that I missed, and then I looked at the red band around it, and I just thought of the red blood that the Lord had shed for you and for me that had saved the three of them. And I seen my name left on the sign, and how it was a warning sign. A triangle sign is a warning sign. And my mind was racing, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. But my delivery was finished, and I was now due to head back to Dromore. But you know, driving home that day across, as I passed, my mind was racing and thinking, is this just a coincidence? Is this right what I'm thinking, that the Lord has a work for me to do? And you know, it was only just as I come back past again, the sign of where Matthew's accident was. And you know, the sign of Matthew's accident was on a map. It's known, officially known as the junction of the B2 Lurgan Moor Road with the Black Skull Road. But locally, if you're from our neck of the woods, it's actually known as the Thornyford, because there, before the bridge was built, it was a shallow place to cross the River Laggan. And I couldn't believe that the Lord, you know, that this was the case. But you know, that's just how the Lord spoke to me. And I suppose how I'd like to finish and how I'd like to end this evening is just simply with my own feeling and how I look at life, I suppose. And for me, I think all of our lives are just like a river. Just like a river, your life has a beginning. Just like a river, all of your lives are going to be longer than others. I don't know the reason for that. But all rivers end in the eternity of the ocean, just like your life is going to end in eternity. But you know, a river has two sides to it. And I believe that you can walk, a bit like Enoch and his walk with God, you can walk on the river on the world side. Or you can cross the river at some point in your life and walk with the Lord on the Lord's side of the river. It took Enoch until he was 65 till he crossed the river and walked with the Lord 300 years. And just like a river, sometimes you can't always tell, there's not much of a difference between one side of the river and the other. And that might be just like your life. You might feel, much like I did whenever I was younger, you might feel that, you know, that you're just as good a person as some Christians are. And sure, why do you need to cross the river and walk with the Lord? Sure, there's no difference. But look, I'm just here to tell you, just like this road sign, just as it is a warning sign, my warning simply is this evening that not that there's any danger in crossing the river, because in Isaiah we read that how the Lord says that when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. The warning isn't to do with the crossing itself. My warning simply tonight is to warn you that I don't know if you'll get another crossing point. I believe the Lord has brought me here this evening, and I believe he's brought you here in the river of your life this evening, and I'm just simply here to tell you there's a ford in front of you tonight if you'd simply take it. There's an opportunity and a safe place to point the river of your life this evening, and I'd simply call on you to do so. Thank you very much for listening. Amen.
I was just thinking about divine appointments, and there's no mistakes with God in anything, great and small. And tonight, this first Lord's Day of the year, is a divine appointment. It certainly has been for Ford coming and relating his testimony to us. And I want to thank you, brother, for coming tonight and doing that. It's a divine appointment for you as you've listened to it. And I trust that you'll be wise and do something with that appointment. The Lord has been speaking. We know that when a testimony is given, and it is a testimony of sorrow and pain, and yet the triumph of grace in the midst of it all, the pain is ours, the sorrow is here on the earth. It certainly is not for any of the brothers that have gone on before. There's nothing better can happen to anyone than to step into heaven. Whether it's Thomas or Wensley, so young, 6 and 3, whether it was your aged grandparents, you know, or for Matthew as well, a young man, just a step into glory and to leave this world. So many things that we love in this world, and yet when we get there, we'll be so taken up with heaven and with the great person of heaven, Christ himself, that there's no attraction to come back here. But the pain is for those that are left behind, and there is the pain of parting and the sorrow that fills your heart. But there's also the joy in knowing where Matthew is, where your 3 brothers are, but your loved ones that die in Christ. And therefore, Paul was able to say, "Ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope." We have the hope of the gospel. And one day, the Lord's coming back again, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wonder how it is with you tonight. Where do you stand with the Lord? Are you in Christ or out of Christ? There's no middle ground. You're either on one side of the river or the other. And I trust tonight that God has spoken to you. This is your divine appointment, even with the Lord tonight, to get right with God, to turn to him. And it is our prayer that you'll do that if you know not the Savior. And you'll do it now, before you go home. And if you're listening in tonight, just where you are, to bow your head before God and to cry to him for mercy. And just say, like the one Jesus spoke about in the temple, he went up to pray, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And if you mean that in your heart, he will. He'll show mercy, his grace, his love, and he'll save you. I'm going to bow together in a wee word of prayer. Dear gracious God, we thank you tonight for bringing this family through dark providence, deep sorrow. I want to acknowledge the goodness of God in the midst of it all. I want to thank you tonight for what we've mentioned, the triumph of divine grace. Thank you for helping Ford relate this testimony. And the Lord has spoken to all of our hearts. We would pray with Moses of old, "Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." And days it is. We don't know if we've got years. We don't know if we have months or even weeks ahead. Maybe just days. Maybe even this very day we'll not see the rest of the hours of this day out. We know not what a day brings forth. And how important it is, therefore, to know that it's well with our souls, that we're in Christ, soundly converted. We pray that you will speak on when the voice of man is silent. You will bring sinners to Christ tonight. Surely you've spoken very clearly and powerfully to our hearts. And we pray for any in this meeting who do not know the Lord, that they will seek him tonight. Come to know him. Trust in him. For Jesus' sake. Amen. We can sing a wee verse of the closing hymn. "I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest, lay down thy weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad." Do you hear the voice of Jesus? He's saying what he did say when he walked this earth, "Come, come unto me." May you come tonight as we sing this hymn. your soul. You can come and speak to us after the meeting. We'll go to the door. Ford will come with me. And if you'd like to talk to Ford tonight, I'm sure he'll be willing to speak to anyone here. Gracious God, dismiss us now in your love. We pray that we'll think upon the things that we've heard tonight, act upon them. And we just leave the whole issues of this meeting now with God, that you'll work on, that you'll speak on, and that be that drawing power that will bring us to the place where we ought to be, especially for the unconverted here, and that is to Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. You may be seated, and as usual, you'll be asked to leave row by row. Thank you.